yours, El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And welcome as we commence another news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And truth is our bitch here, so we're taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so you just kind of have to buckle in. And I advise you to give this radio show 2 weeks, and I mean that. You hear a lot of people say that. Give our show a chance because, believe me, most guys that say that, you don't have to give their show a chance. It'll take about 2 days, and you'll know whether it's good or bad. But our radio show, you got to give it 2 weeks because, in the words of Noah Cross to Jake Gittes, you may think you know what's going on, Mr. Gitts, but you don't. So,
what's that?
It's from the movie Chinatown, bud, so just never mind. You're too young. You're too young and stupid.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. If you go there, you get a backstage pass. You can watch live streaming video of the show right now. Live streaming, we have live streaming video of the show. We have our audio archives of thousands of hours of radio. We have our podcasts. We have our news feeds. We have a variety of other miscellaneous Phil Hendry fun projects, such as television interviews and TV pilots. We've got another TV project coming up that I'll tell you about. We have, there is a trailer online for a movie that I was in 2 summers ago called, and I'm giving you all the information that I have, because I did a little part in this film called Last Call, and I just got an email from the crew today saying the movie is out, the trailer is out. My scene is a surprise scene, so I don't know if it's in the trailer or not, but it's got a great cast called Last Call, and, Tom Arnold's in it. And, Dave Foley, who was, his dressing room was right next to mine because he was walking his dog. And
who?
Dave Foley. And,
what dog?
He was his dog. He was walking his dog. Okay.
Did you say hi to him?
Yeah, you say hello?
Yes, I said hello.
Get an autograph.
No, I didn't ask him for an autograph. I'm working in the same thing with him. So in any event.
Yeah, but just get an autograph.
Will you shut up, bud? I'm not getting an autograph. I'm in a movie with a guy. Oh, by the way, it's not great working with you. Can I get your autograph? I have gotten pictures. That's probably what I should have done. That's the next best thing to get an autograph. Anyway, when we find that, we will post it on our website. You guys may find it before I do. It's called Last Call. So, philhendryshow.com is the website. We want to start our program by informing you that also on our homepage is a list of great affiliates. We're adding them every day, and I know we've got a few new ones in the Northwest, so head on over to our webpage and take a look at our affiliate list. There is one near you if you are listening to us right now. For instance, I don't know, if you're watching the video cast but you're not sure where a local affiliate is, be sure to check that out. We have with us Art Griego, who's going to join us. Mr. Griego is a retired commercial pilot as well as a private pilot. And we're going to talk about safety when it comes to owning a private aircraft. There have been some extremely disturbing stories in the news of late, a few stories that are rather fanciful. And we want to just talk with Art a little bit here about the feasibility, the reality, the wisdom of non-professionals flying, I think is probably the best way that we can put this. And Art Griego joining us from Santa Monica. How are you, Art?
I'm doing good, Phil. How are you doing?
Great. The first thing I wanted to ask you, when I said fanciful, what did you tell me about Paul Allen? Paul Allen, by the way.
Yeah.
Paul Allen, excuse me. I was on mic. I didn't go to the phone.
That's okay.
Paul Allen is as you know, Phil, he's the multimillionaire behind Microsoft. And Paul Allen wants to build the world's largest aircraft so that he can eventually travel to space. I don't know whether this is feasible or not. It's that kind of a venture that worries me, because I think when you have amateurs attempting flight, you can sometimes cut the corners on safety. And I know that Paul Allen's a little different. He's a man with a great deal of money. He's obviously got pilots that work for him. He has professional engineers. That may not be the greatest example, but Richard Branson is another. Branson wants to give away trips to space, I guess, in contests.
Well, he has some terminal that he's built, right?
Yeah, he has a space terminal from which will the vision is from which aircraft or a craft can travel into space and you know, just like any amusement, I guess you can give rides to people to see that. Those things are, you know, obviously being funded by people with money, and you could do the proper safety checks. But what I'm really concerned with, Phil, are the average private pilots. You're right. We've had a great many high-profile accidents of late, and I worry, quite honestly, Phil, that we've got a lot of people who are not qualified to fly aircraft.
Well, when you say not qualified, everybody who gets a pilot's license, who owns an aircraft, has a license. Ostensibly, they're qualified, right?
Well, that's the hope, but that is not, in my opinion, always the reality. I think we've got people, unless you're a professional, and by that I mean unless you make your living in some way, shape, or form as a pilot, and that is you have flown commercially, you've flown with the safety of passengers, your professional life depends on how safe you keep people and how safe you keep freight and how quickly you're able to deliver freight and get people to where they're supposed to be. I don't think that you can call yourself, certainly you can't call yourself a professional, and I don't know whether you're going to be the safest person in the world to fly with.
Now, without getting into some specifics, you're talking about people that have been flying for pleasure, people that have been flying for trips, let's say, for Christmas vacations, people that have been flying for, just the odd amusement on the weekend to relax.
Yeah, and look, let me be clear. If you're flying by yourself, if you get out on a Saturday morning or a Sunday and you decide you want to take off and fly your aircraft because you want to relax, that's one thing. But if you are telling members of your family, let's go fly somewhere, you are essentially playing Russian roulette with them.
Why? Why are you doing that? I mean, now these are people that people that they love, right?
Well, of course, but even people that you love and even people you think you're protecting, you're not always protecting because there's a million and one things you got to think of. Let me tell you something, Phil. A lot of aircraft, a lot of private aircraft, there are facets of the operating systems of those aircrafts, parts of those aircrafts, some of which need to be inspected every 25 hours of flight. Every 25 hours of flight. Now, you can well imagine how on top of things you got to be to make sure that that aircraft is safe. Now, how many of these guys that I see on the weekends, and I'm out here at Santa Monica Airport, and I see them, you know, they're nice guys, and they want to know about aircraft, and they'll come over to the hangar or some of the places where I am with some of the mechanics, and they want to talk, and it's a little embarrassing. I don't really want to necessarily be seen with them, not because I'm a snob, but because I don't want anybody thinking that I am friendly with these kind of, hillbillies. You know, that's what we call them, but they're not.
Well, all right. I mean, you're talking about something social. What is the problem? These guys are out there on the weekends doing what? What do you see?
Well, I'm telling you right now, these guys are not anybody that I'd fly with. I see them coming out. They got their little cooler of sandwiches, and they're loading their kids into the plane. And I can tell you, Phil, if it was the movie Dracula, if you remember in the movie Dracula where the man crosses himself as he sees the castle or something, I would do the same were I of a religious, if I had a religious nature like that, I would, every time I see a guy putting his kids in an aircraft, I would cross myself because...
Well, that's a little dramatic.
No, it's not really.
Why?
Because for the very reason I told you, you don't know when you look at that guy loading his wife and kids into a private airplane. Sure, he took his little airplane lessons, and he knows how to make the plane go up in the air, and you know, he probably go, wee, you know,
Well, aren't you kind of, you're belittling a lot of these guys. I mean, some of these men are very, very serious. They take their flying very seriously. You know, they're not there to hurt their families.
No, I'm not saying that they are, Phil, but I'm saying you can't take a guy that serious who is a pleasure or leisure flyer. He's not a professional.
Every man that flies who does not have a professional connection to flight, every man that flies who is simply a pleasure flyer or a leisure flyer, as you call him, is not safe to be with?
I didn't say that. I'm simply saying, and you can take this any way you want, that when I see that guy get into an aircraft with his family, I want to cross myself, and I'm not Catholic.
So in other words, what you're saying, it's kind of a ridiculous thing to say, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. I mean, Phil, look.
Well, you want to cross yourself, meaning what? These people, God help them?
Yes. Yes. Well, absolutely.
So what you're telling me, then, is the following. We need to make the requirements for piloting an aircraft, even if you're a non-professional, much more stringent. We need to make sure that those aircraft are being inspected the way they're supposed to be inspected.
Well, yes, we do, but how are you going to enforce that? You can't. It's not going to happen. We don't have the money for the enforcement. We don't have the bureaucracy. No one is going to go for the bureaucracy that's going to take to enforce that kind of thing.
Well, if we're talking about the safety of people...
That's exactly what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about. But no one is going to go for the enforcement of something like that. My solution is simply this. To come on programs like yours and to let people know. And I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. If there are any kids listening and your father wants to take you on an airplane...
No, I'm not going to let you do that, okay?
Philip.
I'm not going to let him do that. Okay, dump that. Dump that. Dump that comment. No, Art, I can't allow that.
Why not?
Because you're talking about... You're advising children against their parents. I would not... You can't do that.
All I'm saying, Phil, is if Daddy wants to take you...
Okay, cut him off. 877-876-PHIL. How do I talk to him and tell him that we can discuss this, but I don't want him talking directly to children and scaring them? 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk to Art Griego about the relative safety of flying as a private pleasure flyer and how safe is your family. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Let me go off like that.
Phil Hendry Show.
I understand that. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me here is Art Griego as we're talking about the safety of private pilots, private flying. And how safe is it in light of some of the stories that we read? There is a very prominent story. I don't want to get into the particulars of it. It just happened today, as a matter of fact, in New Jersey. And you know the one I'm talking about, right? I don't want to get into the particulars of it, all right?
Well, Phil, I understand you don't want to get into the particulars, but we've got people that are out there flying. They're flying with family members that are telling them, let's go, fly in the aircraft and go and have a wonderful afternoon. And they're getting into an aircraft with some individual who could very well cost them their lives, and yet they trust them. How do you say no to your father? If your dad says, let's go flying, how do you say no to him?
I understand.
I know you don't want me to directly address the kids, and I won't do that. But I'm just simply asking the adults then, if you get into an aircraft to fly, and you say, let's go, kids, how do you know that your children are not fearing for their lives? And the most abject, stark fear that their young lives will be extinguished as soon as they climb into an aircraft with you, their father.
And do you really believe that children, if they feel that frightened, would not say something?
Oh, kids say things. And what do parents say to them? Oh, stop. You'll be fine. Oh, stop. You'll be fine. Yeah. There's a very interesting thing that happens, Phil. If the aircraft explodes in the air, you can't say that to a kid anymore.
And why again are you, this is to me, that's worst case scenario, and I think it's fear-mongering.
All right, I understand that, but you realize if your aircraft explodes in the air, you can't say to the kid, oh, stop. You're making a big deal out of nothing. You know that, right?
Of course I do. 877-876-PHIL. What about private pilots? Are they as safe as we might think they are? Are they endangering their families? Are they endangering their friends when they take them up flying with them? Let's take a phone call here from Fred. Fred, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi. I was wondering if your guest is familiar with the Paul Wellstone crash in Minnesota, where Senator Wellstone was being flown by a 20-year experienced pilot, and the plane went down.
Was he a professional pilot, do you know?
20 years.
Well, no, I know he'd been flying for 20, but was he a professional pilot at the time that he was flying Senator Wellstone? I don't think he was.
Well, they said...
So,
they said that there was... The book that I read about Senator Wellstone said that the plane got hit by some kind of electric magnetic field. There were garage doors opening in the community, and... Anyway, that's why the plane crashed.
Well, no, that sounds like it's concocted. I wouldn't believe that. I think what happened was you had a pilot who, represented himself as something that he wasn't. And when he got into a sticky situation, he lost control of the aircraft. I hope that helps you.
Okay.
I hope that answers your question. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Just remember, these guys, Phil, the guy that claims that he's a 20-year pilot, and...
Who was the man that was flying Senator Wellstone?
I don't have no idea, but anytime someone tells me, oh yeah, I've been flying for 20 years, the first thing I ask them, have you been flying professionally, or have you just been out jockeying around the skies, taking your wife on a sightseeing tour of the Grand Canyon, or something like that? I mean, what do you mean by 20 years of flying? And most of the time, you're going to find out it's some guy that was flying up and down the coast of San Diego, and he's going to see grandma or something like that. In other words, it's got nothing to do with professional flying. So when a guy says to you, I got 20 years of flying, and you are in, I can give you an experience of mine, Phil, flying out to Catalina one afternoon with a friend of mine who I knew flew, but I didn't think he flew professionally. And I said, you're not a professional pilot, are you? He said, all right, I've been flying 15 years. I said, but you're not a professional. Did you ever fly professionally? He said, no, I haven't. I remember thinking that I remember feeling that I'd been tricked into getting into that aircraft, and I said to him, if I make it out of this alive, I'm going to hold you responsible for what you put me through.
And make it out of what alive?
The flight that we were taking. Because
this man was not a professional pilot.
He was not a professional. He'd been flying... He'd been joyriding for 15 years. He's a joy, what we call a joy jockey, or we call these guys air jockeys or joy jockeys. And what we mean by that is, or air personalities, because they're flying around, what we mean by that is they don't fly professionally. And I said to him, as soon as I found out he wasn't a pro, that he'd been air jockeying it for 15 years, I said, if I make it out of this alive.
Well, make it out of what alive? Was there anything wrong at that time?
Phil, I'm trying to be clear. Yes, he's...
No, I mean with the aircraft. Was the aircraft losing altitude? Was it...
No, there wasn't anything wrong with the aircraft, but there was something wrong with the pilot, is what I'm trying to tell you.
And so immediately, as soon as he told you, I've been flying 15 years, but I'm not a professional, you thought you were in danger.
I knew I was in danger. I knew I was in danger. And I said to him, and again... If you are a pilot and you are telling your children, hey, kids, let's go and fly around on the weekend, and you're not a professional, and you have just put the deepest, darkest fear into your children that they're not going to come back from that flight alive, I suggest you rethink where your hobby is.
Well, unless we get some evidence, Art, on kids that are really fearing this kind of thing.
Well, I mean, are kids going to tell you?
But, I mean, we really need to know whether kids are afraid that their daddy said, let's go flying for this weekend, I'm scared to death.
I've talked to them. I've talked to a lot of kids who've told me that when their father says, what do you say we fly up to Hyannis for the weekend? What if they're... I don't want to make a joke, but if your dad was John Kennedy Jr. and he said, let's make a...
Let's take a flight to Hyannis for the weekend?
Yeah. You going to feel good about that? Of course you're not. And that's what we're talking about here.
All right. Art Griego with us, 877-876-PHIL, as we continue to discuss the safety of... private pilots and private aircraft and these private little jaunts that they tend to take and do take, and there have been some horrific accidents in recent days, one of them taking place today in New Jersey over an interstate. and more news like that. We'll be back with more from Art Griego and your phone calls at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Be right back.
Oh, God.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I apologize on that.
I understand, but all right, we're back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me is Art Griego as we talk about the private pilots of America and the world and the private plane accidents that we've been seeing and this particularly horrific one that happened today, and there's been others. And Art, you're simply saying that private pilots, every time they get up there, they're rolling the dice, and if they take family members or friends with them, it's a death sentence is what you said.
I did not say death sentence.
Well, you said you're crossing yourself, like in that Dracula movie, is what you said.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, and I don't make any excuses for that. When I see a man get into a private plane with his family, and this guy during the week is an investment banker, or during the week he owns a pawn shop, or I don't know what he does, or he's a fisherman or something, and then on the weekends he's getting his entire family, children, innocent children, who trust their father, and they put him into the aircraft, and now he's taking off and he's flying, and forgive me for saying this because I got into trouble and they banned me from the airport for a 2-week period, but I had sent a bon voyage card, and I shouldn't have done it. It was a birthday party that the kids were having, and they were flying, and I sent a bon voyage. And
what is that supposed to mean? That's very bad taste.
It was very bad taste. You're right. It was a bad joke. But that's the way a lot of us think, and I've been drinking, and there are a lot of things going on in there.
You sent to a child a bon voyage card when they were going on a birthday party flight.
Yeah, they were going to Catalina. And I apologized.
In other words, all right, let me take a phone call.
No, but I want to finish my point, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead, then we're going to get a phone call on.
Okay, I just wanted to say that that day that I had sent the bon voyage card, I had been at the hangar. I was over at Hangar 12. I was talking to Jeff Rudy and a couple of the pilots. We'd been passing a bottle. It was not right of me. The method was wrong, but I think the message was right, which is basically, where are you going? I'm going on a flight with my dad. Bon voyage.
Oh, that's really great. It's a child you're talking to.
I understand that.
So you're frightening the kid.
Well, I said the method was wrong. The method was wrong.
877-876-PHIL here. 877-876-7445. Art Griego here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Here is Mark. Mark, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, sir.
You know, I literally learned to fly a plane before I learned to drive a car. I've lived and flown in Alaska all my life, and I have never known fear until the time I was 14 and had to climb into a commercial aircraft. The safety and stuff that is involved in small private aircraft, and I know this because my stepfather is an AI. That's airframe and internal. He's a certified mechanic. And when you're dealing with a small aircraft like a Cessna, that thing mechanically is gone through once a year. That's your annual inspection. Then you've got your 100-hour inspection. As long as the pilot is competent, there's not an issue. We fly thousands, literally thousands of flights a day here in Alaska.
Are you a professional? Are you a professional or are you a private pilot? What are you?
I'm a private.
What are you telling me?
I was a private pilot.
Well,
my whole family are private pilots. Dad was a private pilot. Mom was.
So you don't do it. So you don't do it for money. You don't do it for money. You do it for pleasure.
No. Well, do that and work. When I grew up...
Wait. Now, see, this is what I'm asking. Are you working or are you a pleasure flyer? What do you do?
Well, I fly whenever I need to. It's Alaska, guy. that you have to follow.
Excuse me, sir. You know, I know Alaska's really important to you, but the rest of us live down here in civilization. Okay. So what I'm asking you is...
Hold on. Let me ask. Mark, hold on. What he's asking is this. Are you a... You fly professionally, then. You use your aircraft for work. Is that right?
Well, I use it to get... Well, when I was flying, before I moved to Anchorage, when we were flying around, it was to get to work, yeah.
I see. All right. So it's just a commuter. I see. So you just commute, but you're not using it. You're not a commercial pilot. You're not a freight pilot, anything like that.
No. Although
okay.
I have air cargo up here for 3 years.
You're not a professional. All right. So you're not a professional. So therefore, when you fly, and you're flying over a populated area, you say you're flying over Anchorage?
Yeah.
So that's, a lot of potentially dead people under you.
Well, what does that mean, there's a lot of potentially dead people under him?
He said he's not a professional.
Well,
that
let's talk about professionals for a minute. It was a professional pilot.
So when he flies...
Stevens into the side of a mountain.
Everyone is dead, potentially.
Look, training...
Everyone's dead.
Training and experience... Hey, I'm letting you speak.
That's true. I understand, but think of what you're saying.
Just as much as it can be your ally. Lots of professional pilots, like the one that flew Ted Stevens, get overconfident in their ability because they think they're a professional and they think they know better than anyone else. And it's the same thing.
Well, I don't know.
The feel of an 18-wheeler, or whether you get the feel of a freight train, or whether you get.
I don't know the intention of. I don't know the intention of the guy that flew Ted Stevens. All I know is, we've got these people. You say when you're a private pilot, you get all these inspections and all this mechanical stuff done. Well, okay, that's nice. Guess what? You're not the only...
Secure and safe.
Well, you're not the only... Well, I have to tell you, you're not... That's not what's being done by private pilots, okay? I don't know what to say.
It is. It's required by...
Well, no, it's not.
You bet it is. And if they're not...
No, it isn't.
They need to be fined and dealt with for breaking the law, for committing a...
Oh, well, sure. And we ought to run the mafia out of business... Well, we ought to run the mafia out of business, but the fact is we got a lot of... We've got guys like, and I don't know about you, but you sound like you're okay, but I wouldn't want to get in an aircraft with him. And
who?
The gentleman is talking.
Why?
He's not a pro. If I got into an airplane with him, what would happen to me could very well be what happened to that family on Interstate 287. A ball of fire.
Okay. All right. Well, if you get into an aircraft with a pro, the very same thing can happen to you that happened to Ted Stevens, because that man was
less of a chance.
I disagree.
Way less of a chance. Way less.
Because of weather conditions and because he was overconfident. Period. End of story. He should.
Well, I don't know that it said.
Quite.
How do you know it said overconfident? Is that what it said in the report? The NTSB said, and he was overconfident.
Yeah, I doubt it. You bet. That's what pilot error is. He made a mistake. He made an error in judgment. He went when he should not have.
Well, and also one other thing that you don't take into consideration. Ted Stevens was not a very popular guy.
Several others.
Ted Stevens was not a popular guy at the time. I don't know whether that was done on purpose.
You've got to be kidding me.
You've
got to be kidding.
No. Think about it. Think about it. The guy, Ted Stevens was not popular. Maybe it was, call it what you want, jihad. It's not jihad, but it's...
A suicide? Because Ted Stevens wasn't popular? Wow.
Popular in Alaska. He almost won re-election even with the quote-unquote defunct conviction, which got thrown out anyhow.
Well, that so says you.
Dude, right. I'm here. You're not. I grew up here. I know Ted Stevens. I knew the man.
You knew him. You knew Ted, then you knew. All right? If you knew Ted Stevens, then you knew that guy was bat crap crazy. And
that's not even a respectful comment.
But you know he was.
All right. Mark, thank you for your... there you go. Thank you for your expertise, sir. I appreciate it very much. Thanks. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Jamaica. I'm sorry, I'm probably mispronouncing your name, miss.
Jamaica?
Yes, dear, and Jamaica, and you're on the air. Go ahead.
What did you say your name?
Jamaica.
Hello, Jamaica. This is Art Griego.
Hello. I believe that finding you.
I believe that... Got a little bit of a cold, a little bit of the flu. but the family's better.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
I felt like we were the family of John Adams. You're like, we got tuberculosis, not that smallpox.
Okay, fine. Jamesia, go ahead.
I just believe that if you, I mean, it's just like if going to the doctor. Just because someone says that they have so many years, you wouldn't just go to any doctor. So why would you just jump into a plane with anyone just because they said they have so many years in flying? I mean, that just
exactly.
sounds crazy.
That's exactly my point. That's exactly my point. And a lot of these guys, like, you get some of these guys, no offense to the gentleman I just talked to, Phil, but he's a bush pilot up in Alaska, not a bush pilot, but he's an Alaska pilot. A lot of those guys have their experience flying tourists in so they can take pictures of a bear, you know, squatting over a leaf or I don't know, and then they fly them out, and that's what they do. Now, that can't be that tough. I've never done it, but how tough is it to take off and fly into a tree and land and, you know,
it's not, what are you talking about? They're flying long distances over, lakes, over wilderness. If the plane goes down, they're stranded, you know.
If the plane goes down, but I don't know how difficult that could be. So this lady's right. If a guy says, I will fly you out to, like that kid, Tim Treadwell, I'll fly you out to the bear maze in Alaska and you can land and you can look at the bears. This guy Treadwell had a fascination with bear dump. I'm not kidding.
And all right, that's fine.
Okay, well, I just, and then, are you going to trust a guy, Jamesia, who says, I have experience flying in Alaska, taking people out to look at bear turd? No.
Heck
you're
no.
Not.
I mean,
okay.
Just, I mean, that's just something that you think about when you have a family. You just don't, I mean, that's just like someone saying that, you know, I've operated before. I've operated on someone before. Okay.
My kids very
are
good point.
Terrified of you because you're not professional. You just came
very
out
good,
of the
yeah.
pawn shop from working. So how am I going to trust you? So
guy came out of the pawn shop.
That's a very good point, Phil. Can you imagine a family friend saying, well, let me take your tonsils out. Why? I've had experience. Excuse me?
Yeah.
So I'm going to get up in an aircraft with someone. Well, how long have you been flying? Oh, I've got hundreds of hours flying back and forth between, you know, where Yogi the Bear lives. I got to tell you.
Well, you're minimizing and insulting people that fly in Alaska, that fly those wilderness flights, those bush flights. I don't think you should do that. I think that that's a very specific kind of flying with specific needs. And you're right. I mean, if something does go wrong, they're stranded. You know.
Well, I don't want to get up in an aircraft with a guy. If I go down, I'm not going to die in the air crash. I'm going to die at the hands or the paws of a grizzly bear. So if you can imagine, the plane crashes, and while you're staggering out of the wilderness for help, you're set upon by a family of bears. What about that, Jamesia? Have you thought about that? You know, there's a story, and I don't know if you remember Goldilocks?
Yes.
Is the caller there yet? Goldilocks.
Forget about Goldilocks.
Goldilocks. What?
I know what Goldilocks did. Goldilocks had. You know, you're making a joke out of this, which I appreciate.
No, I am not. No, I am not. Ask the lady. Do you want to crash only to be set upon by three big bears? Or would you rather die in the crash? Or would you rather land safely? I take number three. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Jamesha, thank you very much for your call. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. I think when you make a joke out of it.
I'm not making a joke out of it.
When you're talking about Goldilocks.
I'm talking about Goldilocks as a way of saying, Phil, you can die in a plane crash. You can survive the plane crash, thank God, only to stagger out of the wilderness with just a flaming wreck behind you, waving down a state trooper, and just as he's pulling over, you're set upon by bear. Claws out, 8 feet tall, polar bear.
Wow.
Yeah, Yeah, you bet.
All right, let's take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. I've actually seen a polar bear. It was stuffed, but it was standing up. If you've ever been to the Dodger Club, well, I'll tell you about it when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. It has something to do with Walter O'Malley.
What?
Truth.
We'll be right back.
Bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Walter O'Malley.
World famous
Yes, they did.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. With me is Art Griego. Mr. Griego, for 25 years, was a commercial pilot, flew for one of the major airlines, and also flew freight for a freight carrier, and was a private. It was in private business as a commuter pilot, and now just sort of semi-retired, Art. So you are one of those guys that people talk about, right?
Well, no, except that I've got credentials.
Well, so do these other guys.
All right, okay, they have credentials, but what I'm saying is, if you fly with me, you're not going to be in any problem, except for the fact that I, as I've said, I've had a drinking problem in the past. I don't take people with me. I mean, if I do, it's because they insist. My wife sometimes will say, come on, take me for a flight. Let's go. My wife flies as well. But she knows what the score is. If she flies with me, she knows that at any moment, it could all come to an end. And
you're what? I find that so difficult to understand.
Phil, it's the way it is. Any private pilot.
All right, 877-876 Phil. Now, the story here of Bill Calcavecchia. Who's he?
All right, Bill Calcavecchia was a very dear friend of mine who flew a bush run in Alaska from Kodiak all the way into the Bear Maze, and I think Bill was one of the pilots one year that would take Tim Treadwell into the Bear Maze when he'd spend the summer in there.
And Tim Treadwell, by the way, is the grizzly man, right?
Yeah, the famous grizzly man who lost his life to a grizzly bear. And in many ways, you can say that Tim Treadwell lost his life because of an inexperienced pilot, because he was flown in there and dropped off and then basically attacked and eaten. And
no, he wasn't flown in and dropped off and then attacked. He was flown in, dropped off, and he did his studies. And
what do you mean his studies? What is that? He did not. He wasn't sent in there by.
He went in and did what he considered to be study. He worked as a. He was an amateur biologist. He was an amateur zoologist. Nonetheless, he kept detailed records and, in his own way, amassed a very valuable a resource of information that zoologists and animal behaviorists and so on and so forth use. So you can't really say that his, you know, the guy was just some joke, you know.
Well, all right. I mean, okay, whatever you say. I mean, I don't know anything about it. I'm just telling you that this guy went in there, and the next thing you know, if I was a bush pilot, I wouldn't have taken him in there. But anyway, Bill Calcavecchia and I were flying in. I was with him one day because he was going to go in and pick up some guys had been up the river, and they were doing some king salmon fishing and so forth. They'd been camping out. They were doing a little bit of kayaking, or they canoed up the river a ways. What happened then is your worst nightmare. We lost altitude. It was a fuel line. All of the things that you don't think are going to happen when you're flying with a pro. And that's when I asked Bill. I said, are you a professional, or is this some joyride? And that's when he came clean.
And what did he say?
He said, we're just out pleasure flying. I told you we were going up to pick people up because I thought you'd go with me then. So I looked at him and I said, you lied to me, and we're going down. And he said, yes, we are. He said, but I can assure you that we won't crash. And he was right, we didn't. He was able to glide the plane in a clearing. It was a glen, a bit of a wooded glen, but there was a clearing in the area. And we got out. And then something happened that scared me, and I remember it to this day. A grizzly bear, and I'm telling you right now, Phil, at least 2,200 pounds, 12 feet high.
And on its hind legs?
Yes. Came out of the forest, and Bill and I screamed and ran. We must have run miles. Miles. And
you screamed and ran?
Wait, is there something wrong with that? Does that make me some kind of a fairy?
No, I didn't say that, but you screamed and you ran for miles? Is that what you said?
Yes, that's what I said. Can I say this again? It was a 12-foot-high grizzly bear. We screamed and ran. We didn't scream like women. Is that what you're saying? You think we did that?
Well, when you tell me that you screamed and ran...
Well, no, we didn't do that, but it was 12 feet high. To this day, they say it's a record. The people that I talked to.
Well, you didn't bring the bear back, though, huh?
No, Phil, I didn't bring the bear back.
Well, then how do they know You know,
because I told them that's how they know, and they said to me, "I can assure you, that's a record." And I said, "Thank you." I don't know. I we ran for miles and hid in the thicket for about a day until we made our way back to the plane. We got back to the plane. The seats were torn out. The electrical was all pulled out. The plane itself, it looked as if it had been just picked apart for parts.
Was there food eaten?
No. That was the funny thing about it. This bear, it was almost as if the bear was looking for parts to repair a plane of his own. I know it sounds crazy, but...
There was no food taken. There was just...
Yeah, there was just electrical removed. There was a whole section of the engine was gone. One of the tires had been removed. And
well, obviously, that wasn't a bear.
Well, who do you think it was? It was only a bear.
Well, it would have had to have been a human being taking a tire off of the aircraft.
No, there were no humans within miles. The bear came out of the forest, and I'm telling you...
Well, are you telling me the bear unscrewed the tire?
No, it ripped it. It looked to me like it ripped it off. Or ripped it, tore it out, I don't know.
And all right, thanks a lot. Art Griego here on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back, 877-876-PHIL.
The seats were torn out.
They were.
Phil Hendry.
Had to reupholster.